Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Andrew Hale. Well, as Pastor Brock mentioned, he and I are pretty similarly dressed, so I thought maybe Ethan, Heath, Brett could, anybody else want to come up front and join the blue crew? Well, hey, as the grills fire up and anticipation builds for our backyard cookout-in coming soon, Pastor Brock and I want to steal your attention and point, all of us, as to why we're hosting this shindig today. So as Pastor Brock has said, today is IYM Sunday. What in the world is that? And on IYM Sunday, what we're not asked to do is just preach about Indiana Yearly Meeting, the ins and outs of it. It's so amazing. You should be a part of it and all these things. But they actually ask us specifically, and they say, as always, we encourage you, preach the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so today, that's going to come out in three ways. One is I'm going to take a piece and talk about who is Indiana Yearly Meeting, to touch base on that, and how does that apply to generations. Pastor Brock will then dive into generational impact and to look at the implications of when we do ministry, when we do life, we live with just a legacy mindset to say, here's what's coming, and what's coming is what has been before and what will be ahead of us. Third piece will be the impact right here in Fairmount, both within Fairmount Friends as well as then what might it look like for us to be a church that is on mission, for us to be a church that is going to our community both here in Fairmount and the surrounding communities. And so as you think about those three pieces, think of it like this. Think about like just a glorious burger. And you've got a pretzel bun, because we know that's just next level. You've got a pretzel bun, absolutely. Anybody against pretzel buns? You're wrong. But think of it like that. We got the base, right? And then we've got the meat of what's going to be coming with what Pastor Brock brings. And then on top of that, the perfectly seasoned, grilled to perfection burger, we've got our different toppings, whether it's lettuce and tomato, mayonnaise, or Miracle Whip. I know that can be a rub between what's right and what's wrong. Miracle Whip all the way. I'll make do with mayonnaise. But who is Indiana Yearly Meeting? So Indiana Yearly Meeting's phrase or quote that they put out there about what their mission is to create environments that empower churches and individuals to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And perhaps another way to say this is IYM, to say it a little more simply, exists to help people to be disciples and to make disciples, to be followers of Jesus and to help others to do that as well. And this is best done through the local church. And so IYM strives to support the local church as it thrives in the community it lives within. And then how do we do ministry around the world as well? Do we have anything that has value in Fairmount that might actually impact somewhere else in the world? And so Indiana Yearly Meeting was established in 1821. It's a collection of 49 evangelical friends, churches across the state of Indiana and a couple other surrounding states. And it's one of more than 30 yearly meetings associated with what's called Friends United Meetings. So there, we've got Fairmount Friends, you've got IYM, and then you've got Friends United Meeting on the international level. So everything we believe as Christians, as followers of Jesus, here today, here as a part of Fairmount Friends, here just as a Christian, is what we believe, is that we are going to call ourselves happenstance IYM Friends, but it comes from understandings of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we can get lost in the Friends way or in the Quaker values. Those are helpful guides, but to know that we are founded in Jesus. And so when George Fox and his friends began to preach about the truth, they sought to strip away everything from Christianity that was not based on the teachings of Jesus as taken from the New Testament. So every year, IYM asks that our local meetings or churches would host what's called IYM Sunday. And we do this to help spread awareness about the work that God is doing in our yearly meeting. We do it to help emphasize that the work of IYM is only possible and only done because of people like you, people like us. So from 1821 to 2023, from generation to generation, our ancestors worshiped and ministered. We're here today in this building, who's been here since 1851. That's over 170, almost 175 years of ministry and worship happening in this house and in this community. And so there's exciting and vibrant initiatives that we can help be a part of in different ways. And so whether it's a youth focus in summer camps, whether it's a youth focus in developing, how do we raise up young people to be leaders, not just in our community, but if we send them off into the world, is it just go be a hard worker, or is there a further impact that can be made beyond whatever specific responsibilities we have? There's the missions focus in the missions field. There are more friends, capital F, friends, in Africa than anywhere else in the world. It's mind-blowing. It's crazy. And those folks are actually to a point where they're not just receiving us folks from the Western world and saying, all right, what do you have to say and what do you have for us to learn? But to say, hey, we want to go, and we want to be sent, and we want to become missions ourselves, to become not just straight-up independent, but to say that, hey, we're taking this Jesus thing where we have received discipleship, and now we want to help make disciples. There's leadership development, pastoral training, multiplication efforts, meaning how do we help make church plants? How do we help raise up a church so that way we have multi-site possibilities, whatever that means or whatever that looks like. And maybe I'm just talking Christian pastoral, churchy language, I don't know. If you have questions, let me know afterwards. But to know that IYM has things from quilt camps to spiritual retreats, from IYM sessions and summer camp at Quaker Haven. There's youth invasions and winter sneak weekend getaways for youth to be impacted by the generations who came before, both in establishing Quaker Haven, but also in literally pouring into our young people as they are counselors, as they are spiritual leaders and guides. And we get to be a part of that. We financially support that. We personally support that. We send kids financially who do that. And so as we have this concept of IYM and generations, I have a passage from Psalm 78 that I want to share, and then I'll hand things over to Pastor Brock. So Psalm 78, and I don't think much needs to be said about it. We're just going to read it straight up. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God. It would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. Pretty straightforward to say, think about who's come before. Think about what the Lord did in their lives. Tell others about it, and then think about who's coming and yet. The people who aren't even born yet. Notice they call them children. And to say, there's significance in telling these people about the Lord, not just because it's the churchy thing to do, not just because that's what we're supposed to do, because it's IYM Sunday and it's required of us or whatever, and it's not. But to say, no, there's generational impact that we're going to experience, and we are experiencing here right now at Fairmount Friends.
So when we look at from generation to generation, we think that we are standing on the shoulders of some pretty incredible people. Morris, as I read your text last night, Morris mentioned some pretty awesome folks that have preceded us. Names like Peacocks, Ellingwood, Davis, Neff, Thomas, Broker, Harold, Haynes, Childs, Painter, Hickety, Johnson, Driscoll's. I mean, these are some heavy-hitting names here that we have the blessing of standing on shoulders that have been generation, generation, generation after a long time. Right now, they say that there's seven generations alive on the planet. Five of them are in the workplace right now. I want to show you these five generations here on this slide. And the five generations, there's the builders, the boomers, the busters, millennials, and I've got boomers on there again, okay? And then Generation Z, okay? So here's who we've got. These are the different generations that we have here on the planet. So the next one here shows the years that we were born, okay? So from 1929 to 1945 is the builder generation. The builders were the ones that really helped build America. They're the ones that were born into the Great Depression. They're the ones that were born during World War II. They were the ones that helped kind of pivot America into the Industrial Revolution. Then we have the boomers, or the pig and the python. Have you ever seen whenever a python tries to eat a bigger animal than it is? It's like it's going down like this, and then, wow, here's this big pig inside the python. This was this massive generation that came through, and probably, I'm guessing, there's a lot of boomers that are sitting out there right now from 46 to 64. Real quick, how many builders are in the room? Any builders out there? Okay, come on, we got some builders. Okay, then we go to the next one. We go to the boomers. How many boomers in the house? Yeah, there they are. Okay, yeah, they'll let you know. They were like our version of millennials. They were the boomers. Okay, then we've got the busters, or this is Gen X. So from 65 to 82, how many of Gen Xers are in the house? And if you find yourself being in between, you know, like I was kind of born in between these two decades, and you're probably going to have a little bit of both. So for me, I was born in 1982, so I could be an Xer or a Yer. So Y is whenever we moved into the new millennium here, and so that's from 83 to 2000. Okay, how many Yers are out there? Yeah, right on. Okay, and then finally, we've got Gen Z. So from 01 to 2015. Any Zers? Yeah, there it is. Okay, and. Yeah, so super cool. And then we've got a few of them. And then whatever's going to be this next generation, I don't know the name of what that's called. What's that? Homelanders. Okay, so the Homelanders. Probably because they were born when we all were on Zoom calls. it's what happened. Okay, so there's a life paradigm, or what's the narrative of every generation? Because we all don't think the same. We think and we see things differently. So each generation saw things a little bit differently. So for the builders, they're just grateful that you had a job. This morning, whenever we were sitting in our Sunday school class, Mike and Lori, with tears in their eyes, were saying, I was just thankful that I had a job. I prayed for this job. I am grateful for this job. Other people around me are talking about, don't you hate this place? He's like, no, I'm thankful for this place. There was gratitude in builders. Then boomers come in and like, I see all this, but I deserve better. I know you're not a builder, but you are grateful. Yeah, yeah. But you look like a builder. No, I'm just kidding. So boomers come in and they're like, man, I want something better than this. Then we've got the busters, and this was the group that were like the first ones that didn't fully believe the story that was handed to them. And they were like, man, I just want to like keep it real, okay? But just keep it real, or be honest with me. Anybody ever just said that? Like, dude, just keep it real. And this was one of their life mottos or their phrases in life. Then we got the millennials, and all of life is a cafeteria, okay? I'm coming in, I'm going to pick a little bit of this, I'm going to pick a little bit of this. I'm going to have this job for 18 months, I'm going to have this job for 3 years, then I'm going to go to have this job for 3 days, then I'm going to go have this job for a year. And it's like, I'm just going to pick off the buffet, okay? So that's kind of their approach. And then Gen Z is, I'm just coping and hoping, all right? I'm just dealing, man. I'm just trying to just process through this life, okay? We've never seen in a generation more depression and anxiety and worry and stress and all of those things. Not that it didn't exist before, but it's all just surfaced now. It's where other people just powered through. We don't got time. We're builders, right? We got a mission to get after. Where now it's just like we're just kind of a little bit more aware and awakened to all of the coping and the hoping. Okay, so now we go into the attitude towards authority. So builders, they respect them. There was a massive level of respect that our builders had. Then the boomers come in, like, well, we're just going to replace them. All right, I'm going to take over. And so when the boomers hit, we got some work to do. And thank you for what you built, but we'll take it from here. Then the busters come in, and like, we'll put up with them, I guess. We'll endure these the leaders that we have. Millennials, we choose them. People, they're now saying that we don't just leave a job, we leave leaders. I just don't like you. I still want to do this job. I still want to be a nurse. I just don't want to be it for you. And so they'll go and they'll choose the leadership that they want. And then Gen Z, not really sure that I need leaders. Not really sure that I need any authority. Or we started seeing what happened really through the 70s, whenever the divorce rate really skyrocketed. We saw abortion move in as legalized, and then we saw prayer kicked out of school. The whole family dynamic of America shifted in the 70s. So then those that are being kind of born in through the 70s, which was the Gen Xers into the 70s and the 80s, the family dynamics just looked really different. And we're like, I don't really know what to do with all this. I'm going to choose my leader because my family's not choosing me. Or I don't really know my approach toward leadership or toward authority. And it all started really getting different, okay? So from we respect them to I don't even know if I need them is where we have moved to. And then what did the market look like? Here's what the market was like. For the builders, it was all about providing goods, okay? So they're going to work, they're going to provide goods. The boomers moved in and said, well, let's just provide better service, okay? So then it was like, hey, we can do this thing better. The boomers were all about, let's just get it done a little bit better. Busters, when it comes to their market experience, they want to have some experiences. I just don't want to buy another toy. I want to have an experience. I want to go on a vacation. I want to go down the water slide. I want to go on the roller coaster. I want to not just get a basketball. I want to go experience the basketball game. I want Pacers tickets, right? So they wanted some experiences. Millennials, I like the experience, but I want it to do something to me. I really want to feel it. I want to be moved, and I want to be transformed, and I'm always evolving, and I kind of want it to touch me in a different way. And then Gen Z is we consume. We're consumers. More than we are producers, there is a consumer. So here's the five different generations that are on the planet today. Can anybody feel like whenever you're looking through this, you're like, yeah, I can see that, and man, I'm not sure if I like it. I'm not sure if I like the direction that we're moving. Builders thought the same thing about boomers. Like, oh, shoot. And all you boomers are out there sitting cocky like, yeah, what are these Gen Xers and Gen Yers doing? And it's just interesting how it has continued to move along the way. John Maxwell says this. He says, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. We are going to change. As a church, you look around and all of those names that I read earlier, some of those names have shifted and changed. And now there's new people that have stepped into the place that are carrying some of the load and maybe have been for the last decade or two. Or you see things that are just going to shift and be different over the course of time. Change is going to happen. Your back didn't used to feel like that. Your hair didn't used to look like that. Your eyesight was bad. You don't have the choice. Change is going to happen, but your growth is an option. And you can choose whether while you change if you'll grow or if you'll decline. And I'll tell you, when an organization is allowed just to kind of drift, it doesn't drift towards growth and excellence. That happens by intentionality. It usually drifts toward disagreement, discouragement, disunity, and decline. But I'll tell you this, healthy things grow. For nobody that's taking notes out there, okay? Healthy things grow. And you're in a place that's healthy. So why are we talking about all the different generations? Because the goal is to be a multi-generational church. We're stronger and we're better when we have a vast array of everything. Not catering to one generation or to the other, but whenever we have it full on display. When 60 kids get up and walk out of here, that's a healthy church. That's a good thing. When 150 people still stay in the service, that's a healthy thing. whenever there's life groups that are going on in men's meetings and women's meetings, and there's stuff that's going on all around the school system, and we're involved in Bible studies in the school, and the school has opened wide their arms to us to come in and teach kids the scripture. When things are going on like that in the community, when stuff hits the fan out in the community, and the first phone call is to Fairmount Friends, that's a good, healthy thing. And it's growing because there's health there. Let's check out some of the things that have happened over the course of generations as we look at maybe some of our language, okay? So here's some boomer language. I want you guys to look at some of these phrases and see if you know what it means. Okay, so boomers, they came up with some of this. Threads, having a gas, a Davenport, flip your wig, cat, groovy, what's your bag? Boob tube. That means something totally different, by the way, nowadays, but boomer language. You guys know what some of these phrases are? Anybody wave at me if you know what a few, okay, you know what a few of these are. Okay, here's what these mean, okay? Let's go to this next one. Okay, so threads, those are your clothes. Hey, check out the threads, okay? Having a gas, that means something different now too, but someone or something that is fun or fine. A Davenport, a couch. Anybody used to call your couch a Davenport? Still do? Yeah, yeah. Flip your wig. It means that you're hacked off or you're mad or you're ticked off. Cat. It's just a cool guy. He's a cool cat. Or groovy. When you think something or someone is cool. What's your bag? It means what's your problem. And the boob tube is the television. Who came up with that, by the way? What? Who thought that was a good idea? Yeah, Mike. Mike, you love that name, don't you? Yeah, boy. Oh, he's a builder. So let's check out the next generation, okay? So this is like some TikTok language here, okay? So a hundo P, no cap, bop, dead, stan, living rent-free, taking several seats, and drip, okay? Matt, you know any of these? You know, you don't even know. Okay. All right. So here, let's see what Gen Z is calling this stuff. So Hundo P, it's short for 100%. Okay? No cap. You are not lying or exaggerating. When somebody tells you something, you're like, oh, no cap. All right? No cap. And you gotta kind of do it like this. I don't know. Bop, it's a song that you think is really good. Dead. Something that you think is so funny, it's killing you, but they don't have enough time to spell the whole thing out. So it's just D-E-D. It's just dead. Stan, so it's like it's a super fan, but you're not quite a stalker, but you're more than a fan, okay? So you're a stan. Living rent-free is when you can't stop thinking about something or someone. Like, dude, that girl's living rent-free in my head. I mainly talk about my wife when I say that phrase. Pretty much, yeah, mainly. Taking several seats means you need to calm down, okay? You need to have a seat, or you need to take several seats just to calm down. Or drip, okay? That's a cool or a trendy sense of style, or the term for swag, okay? I was at a high school basketball game, and they're playing this song during warm-ups, and the song, this rapper is singing, and he says, it drips too hard. And I walk up to one of the players, and I'm like, What is he talking about? We can't be playing a song like that. Like, what does that mean? He's dripping too hard? That's not good. He's like, bro, it's like he's got a good outfit, like his fit. Like, he dresses well. I'm like, he dresses well? He drips too hard? He's like, yeah. He's like, has nice clothes. I'm like, okay, I guess we can play that song. I don't know. I'm out of it, man. I'm out of it. And check out this picture. Do you just feel like you're just so out of touch? Does anybody else just feel disconnected? All right? It's like, what happened? Everything's backwards. Everything has gone backwards, it seems like. And then, like, how do I connect generation to generation? Craig Rochelle says this, if you're not intentionally making steps towards growth, you're unintentionally preparing for decline. What we are trying to do, and maybe it's where it's not perfect, but we are trying to connect multiple generations inside of this church, and I think it's a pretty beautiful thing. But there's a lot of intentionality, a lot of intentional conversations that are happening, a lot of thinking and planning. How do we connect to these young kids that are coming in and be able to have a message that's relevant, that connects to a college student who's living 5 hours away from home but needs a safe place to come and get connected to, that's from a parent that's worried about what their kids are walking through and going through, to a grandparent, to some of those that are the builders in the house, that you've been here for 60, 70 years helping this church. And you're like, man, this doesn't quite look like the church I originally signed up for. We hear all of that, and we're open to hearing more, but I'll tell you, there is something that is happening that's good. And what it is it's multi-generational. So if we would take this stool that Pastor Andrew's sitting on, and every leg of this stool represents a generation. If one generation grows and shoots out stronger and faster than the other generation, that stool becomes wobbly. Or if we only serve one of these legs of this stool, and it becomes strong, and the other one declines, and we lose our builders or our boomers because they don't like it, we're going to suffer. And all we are is reaching millennials and Gen Z. It's just going to be off base. We need the builders to stand strong and bring their absolute best. And we need the boomers to lock in their leg. And we need Gen Z and Gen Y and millennials. We need everybody to be strong, because what happens when the stool legs get stronger, it's able to support more. More people can have a seat. More people, it can grow, it can support more. And I know that you don't understand the next generation, neither do I. It's okay. But God created them, and He's for them, and He's all about it. And He's all about a church that properly represents His full creation and not just your personal preference. So, to the degree that we can die to ourselves and think about serving others, the church gets really, really beautiful. It looks more like heaven. And there's so many more generations that are going on. People, we are intentionally thinking through, making intentional moves toward being multi-generational church and not just catering to only one generation. What can make some of this thinking a little bit wonky is our mindsets. And maybe the mindset is, well, we have always done it this way. Well, we don't do it that way. Or this is the way I think the church should grow. Or how about a mindset saying, I don't want the church to grow, because it was much better back in the day whenever I really liked it, how it kind of spoke more to me. And it can get a little bit nasal-gazing, a little bit self-centered when we start thinking about the whole community. It's when it really gets good. Or a mentality that's based on past experiences. This is the way that I really want to connect, or this is how I have enjoyed it best. Or a mentality that's where power is based upon position, not on impact. Hey, I have a position. I'm the clerk of a committee. And so you have a title, but you don't have disciples. And so we'll give power to a title, but not for somebody that's making an impact with their life. And so some of that stuff is shifting and changing. It's like, man, who are the ones that are getting it done, that love the Lord, that are reaching their community? We don't want to play small, and we don't want to play it safe. We want to play into the fullness of what God has for us and come hungry and ready. So here's the things that we got to fight for. It's not for personal preference, not for what I like, but we're fighting for unity. How about let's be as diverse as possible and still dwell together in unity? How about that vision? Man, I don't understand this guy. Wow, that girl, gee whiz, we were raised differently. They think differently. But you know what? We love them, and we're serving right next beside them, and we're dwelling together in unity. Look at this, Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people, all of these generations, from generation to generation, how beautiful is it when we can actually live together in unity and not point out all of each other's problems and bummers, and I don't understand what he said. And no, we're different, and we're still unified. He goes, it's precious. It's like the oil. It's on the head. It's running down the beard, down Aaron's beard. It's like an anointing that comes down upon the leader. The oil that's running into the collar of his robe. It's as if the dew of Hermon were falling down on Mount Zion. Yes, that is where God commands his blessing, and he ordains eternal life. Church family, I don't know about you, but I want to live in a place where God commands his blessing. Blessing, go to Fairmount. Be on these people. Why? Because in all of the weirdness of the diversity of multi-generations, they've figured out how to dwell together in unity, and they're anointed to do it. There's an anointing on this thing, man, and God commands his blessing to be upon that place.
So then taking that, how do we then apply it, right? We can say, all right, Brock, maybe I agree with you, but how do we do that? Is it just showing up on Sunday and being cool with whoever I sit next to you? Even though I'm eyeing them and thinking, I don't think they should have tattoos, or I don't think they should dress that way. It's just real thoughts that we have, right? But what if we were to put it with a couple of C's and to say that we are a church of the community with congregational culture, not of convenience, but of commitment to Christ. That was a lot.
Those are some good C's.
So a church of the community with congregational culture of commitment to Christ. So check out this passage, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And so if we do believe in this Jesus, we also then maybe believe that he is coming back. And if he's coming back, when is he coming? Well, we're told that he's coming soon. Anybody know how soon is? Especially when your spouse says it, or your kids say it, or whoever, yeah, a man saying it versus a woman saying it. It's kind of like the word cute. Like, what does the word cute mean? It can be talking about a dog or an outfit. It can be talking about a guy or a girl. I don't know. That's another C word, but it's not on here. So current realities, right? So if we look at our current realities of Fairmount Friends, what are some of the things that we are already doing? And I'm not just saying, like, what is the staff doing? I'm not saying what our clerks are doing, but I'm saying, what is our people? What are you all already involved in or could be participating in? So some of the things we do offer are church retreats. We've got one coming up at the beginning of June. We've got life groups for a variety of ages and interests. We've got men's groups who meet every single Saturday, 9 o'clock here. We've got women's group that meets every single Wednesday at 6:30 right here. We've got child dedications taking place where we had, 12 families, 10 kids or so up here. We had church family commitments in the form of membership going on. I just handed out another form this morning if someone said, hey, I want to make this my church home. Doesn't mean that I have a different seat in the kingdom, but it just means that I'm committed here. Maybe it's helpful to know that Fairmount Friends is one of the healthiest and fastest growing churches in Indiana yearly meeting. Here's some stats. Our children, as you saw and Pastor Brock mentioned, we got 50 kiddos on average, like a stampeding herd leaving this room every Sunday. The nursery is bursting. Our K through 1 class is running rampant downstairs. If you can't hear them, you will pretty soon. We've got new people every week of all ages. It's not just new families are coming. There's folks of a variety of ages, of elders, of people who have wisdom and experience. Can we glean from those people? Say, why are you coming here? And tell me about your story. And what is it that caused you to step away from where you were before, not to draw them in or try to draw attention to say that, hey, you left that church and let's promote that, but to say, no, what is it that brings you here today? Maybe for you it's helpful to know that in 2021, our average Sunday attendance was 130. 2022 average is 151. Average in 2023 so far is 183 people. Numbers aren't everything. God's not counting our, this church did this and this church did that. But each of those numbers is one of you. And every single one of you has a story. And God cares about stories. Nationally, small group attendance tends to be about 20%. So of the people that attend on Sunday morning, 20% are involved in some sort of small group in some fashion. Fairmount Friends is fortunate to have between 45 and 50% average involvement in small groups. Our missions budget just here with Fairmount Friends is about $20,000. So that's $20,000 that comes in from tithing that goes out, and it goes to whether it's campus life or whether it's FCA or whether it's Quaker Haven, whether it's internationally to Hands of Hope in Guatemala, or it's going to One Mission Society where the Pazminos are, all of these different opportunities. And even then, say somebody in the community says, hey, I've got this thing going on, and I think it's going to help and impact people. Well, they bring a proposal to our missions committee. That missions committee goes through it and figures out how can those monies go out. Maybe this is cool to you. 2023 budget for Fairmount Friends is almost $250,000. And it's not in our pockets. Some of it is, fortunately. We're grateful for that. But just be thinking about those things of, is our church, are we active in our community? Our life groups are visiting shut-ins on their own accord. They're taking meals out. They're sending letters. They're going caroling around Christmas time. We are number one involved in the area in youth from elementary to high school, from Christ for Life after-school program to campus life on Monday nights to youth group on Sunday nights. We've got connections to Taylor University students. I don't know, is there a TU call? I've never actually asked that question. There's no like rallying cry, like Ball State is chirp chirp and IU is whatever.
We're awesome.
Boiler up, that's where it's at. Anyway, most active groups in our church is our kitchen committee, and where are they at right now? Downstairs making this next meal that's about to happen. If you can't smell it yet, take a breath. We have someone, Cindy Gross is our Meals to Homes coordinator, and so if we know of a family in need, or if you know of somebody that is just going through a tough time, and it would just be helpful to have something taken off your plate, let us know. We have folks who want to help bring meals home. As Pastor Brock said, we are regularly sought for assistance, whether it's financial, and so often what we try to do is we'll help with a bill, but really what we want to see is a community that's able to stand on their own two feet and say, I can handle this. And maybe there's extra things where maybe the church can help, maybe it's we got all of our normal, regular responsibilities taken care of, but we need help being able to put our kid through a sport or whatever it might be. We love to be able to help in those ways and to help establish healthy financial habits. When the weather came through town, people called to use the basement. When someone needs an officiant for a wedding or a memorial service, oftentimes we get to be one of the first phone calls. We're a leading contributor to the Easter egg hunt, the block party, other community events. There's people in our church who are part of the fire department, part of the town utilities, people who work as facility staff to school faculty, to entrepreneurs, farmers, bankers, people involved from birth until death in their employment. There's people who serve in our community through the Lions Club, the Masonic Lodge, the Legion Post number 313, Main Street Fairmount, town board members, Madison Grant Youth Sports League. Folks here are involved in those things, and that's not a, all right, Fairmount Friends, we're going to get together and organize this, and you're going to go here, you're going to go there. No, these are just you all doing these things, and we get to talk about it because it's amazing how you are committed to this community. And so often we look at impact, or so often we look at mentoring, and we think of it being, we've got elders who are going to speak into our youngers. Absolutely, 100%. It's the way it should be. It's the way I gain. Just this last week, Dick Hensley revived a group of guys meeting at the branch on Thursday mornings at 10 o'clock. Invite any of you men specifically to come out. And I usually don't say much during those times. I just sit and I listen to war stories, or I hear about different experiences or thoughts on what's going on in current events in the town, and I just like to listen and take in, and so know that I'm listening. But to think about mentoring and say, is it just only from the elders, or is there anything possible where it could be in the reverse order, where maybe the young people have perspective, maybe the young people have gone through some stuff, and they have input or thought that could go towards something. A healthy culture is for the young to also have a voice to teach the older. And so to believe in generational diversity, to believe in our need for a healthy, life-giving culture of commitment to Christ. Let me throw a couple brainstorm booms out at you. What if we were developing a relationship with services like Family Life Center, and we could potentially be hosting counseling services here at the church, which is in the works? Maybe there's another resource out there that we could connect with or network with. Maybe you know of childcare needs or after-school care, or maybe there's transportation you can help out with. Maybe it's visiting elders in hospitals or at their homes. Maybe it's supporting people amid divorce or amid addiction. To know that there's possibilities of children's ministry. And again, we're going to recognize some of those folks who serve here in 3 weeks. But we're going to work on reviving the Kids Hope program out at the elementary school, reviving the Reading Buddies program out at the elementary school. The MG mentors we've toyed around with at the junior, senior high, are you willing to carve out 30 minutes of a week to say, I'm going to give one kid who just needs someone 30 minutes of my time? Are we willing to be friends of Fairmount and get involved with these different community organizations and to say, hey, I'm committed here, and I'm not just committed to showing up on a Sunday. I'm not just committed to maybe showing up to a meeting, but to say that I want to make a difference, I want to show out, and I want to become a friend of our community. And to say, I care. Maybe it's developing connection with our college students. Maybe it's just being hospitable and opening your home and saying, I don't know much about the Bible, but I can host a life group. I could host people in my home and just have a meal. It doesn't even have to have a lesson attached. But to say, hey, neighbor, you want to come over and play marbles? Is that what I heard, Jane, we were talking about earlier? Maybe it's just loving warmly in this house. Maybe it's helping a little one and their family. So before we go out and eat, and I've been asked to make sure we mention that as the food line is downstairs inside, but you're welcome to eat inside or out. It's still sunshine shining in, so you're welcome to do either. But we have this possibility of, hey, would you respond to this thing? Would you be willing to say, hey, I've got a little bit of margin. I'm willing to be involved. I have this idea, and I've really thought about it. I just don't really know how to launch it, or I don't know what to do with it. And it's really just, I know it's going to be a lot of work, and so I'd rather just, God, I don't know. I'll just stay back, and I'll hold on. And maybe the opportunity will come along later. Maybe someone else will take it, and I can just jump on. No. I'm not willing to say no to that. I'm not willing to wait. I'm willing to say, Jesus, let's figure this thing out. And maybe Jesus' timing is to wait. But I'm going to be waiting, chomping at the bit, ready. To say, Jesus, I want to do something, and I want to make a move, I want to make a difference, and maybe that results in a new job employment opportunity. Maybe that results in a complete shift in our focus and approach and how we handle stuff at home. I know there's been a family who started attending again recently, and they talked about how it's just been so good to be back at church. It's been so beneficial. They've seen significant difference in their family, in their marriage, in their home, and even how they treat others amongst their different ways that they serve. And so we are, both as a church and as you as individuals, as me as an individual, as my family, we are positioned to help only by the grace and command of God. And so as you have ideas, as you have possibilities pop up, don't hold back. Don't say, nah. Maybe you've had the thought, so then you have to say it. Maybe that's as far as your commitment goes. Don't limit God. Say yes to what he's got. And so one way to do that, instead of turning away, instead of saying, somebody else will do it, is to say, send me. And so, Tracy, if you throw up that slide, send me. Maybe you've got an idea. Let's go ahead and pop over to the next one. And so what you can do right now is you can pull out your phone, and you can text this phone number, or you can use your camera on your phone, and you can scan this QR code, or you can speak to someone and to say, I don't really even know what it is, but I'm willing. Or maybe I do have this idea and I want to do this. Or maybe it's I don't know what to do, but I want to help out with kids. Maybe I don't know what to do, but I want to help out with youth sports. Maybe I don't know what it is, but I know that Main Street Fairmount tries to do stuff for the community. Whatever it might be, don't limit it to that. Fill this out or talk to myself, Pastor Brock, someone else, one of our elders on our ministry and oversight committee, and to say, hey, I have this thing and I want to do something with it. What you'll do is that'll send you an automatic text reply. And then you hit the link and you fill out your phone number, your name, and there's a comment box. Just put in that comment box, whatever it might be. You know, I want to help out with this, I want to help out with that. There's a bigger QR code if it wasn't working before. And so together, let's be all in on where God has called us to be. Grow where we are planted. And so Pastor Brock, as we close, would you pray boldly for our unity, for our commitment to Christ, and a blessing upon our meal and cook out in.
How many of y'all are excited to be a part of a church that's good, it's healthy, good things are happening? Three of you, four of you, there we go, all right, good. Man, these are good, and just to give a state of the union, while it may not be overly spiritual, I'll tell you, it is deeply spiritual, what's going on here. Just to give you an update about who we are, what is happening, what God is doing, and it's through y'all. It's through everybody here that's doing stuff out in the community. Every week, and then God's presence just shows up and he brings his blessing. Man, I really encourage everybody to stay. Enjoy a meal with us. This feels like one of those Old Testament, like, let's kill the fatted calf and just celebrate the goodness of God. And we've got games and stuff outside for the kids and inflatable stuff, or the adults. I mean, get the dads out there too. That'd be kind of fun. But would y'all just stand with me and we will close in prayer. Jesus, we just pray a bold prayer of faith. God, we just match and we marry our faith with what you are doing. And Father, we say, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me, God. Father, I pray that you would use me in a powerful way. Just put that yes in your heart right now. Perhaps God's put something on your heart to do something in the community, and now is the time. We've played small. We've kind of sat back on that idea. We're just a little bit timid or scared. I just feel like God's just putting his finger inside of your spirit on that idea, and he's saying, now's the time. Let's go. Let's move. Let's act on it. Jesus, we pray for a boldness and a confidence in the house, that we would take bold and big steps. Father, we ask you for more influence and impact in our community. God, we ask you that your presence would be running like rivers through every street in this community, through the Madison Grant and the Grant County, Madison County area. God, we're asking for your presence just to shine and to reign and rule. God, we're asking you for salvation. We're asking you for restoration in homes and in families. God, we're asking you to do something supernatural in this place. Father, we're just praying that your face and your favor would continue to shine upon our land here, Lord. As we move into our party and our lunch, we just pray that your presence would be there. We thank you for this food and just pray for an awesome time of fellowship this afternoon. In Jesus' name, all of his church body said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Have a great week, everyone.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.